Welcome to Breaking Through the Noise, a podcast designed to help pastors, staffs, and church leaders to proactively make more disciples in their church. We tackle the challenges you face in connecting, engaging, and guiding disciples on their spiritual journeys. I'm your host, Mark Wilson, and I'm always glad to welcome my co-host, Charla Sherbakoff, a retired United Methodist pastor, to share her insight and ideas from her years in the pulpit.
Well, Mark, I've just returned from one of my favorite places to refresh and reset, and that is the beach. Even retired people need refreshing from time to time. So where's your place, that place that just gets you going again?
I guess, Charla, I'm a mountain person. If I could get a cabin in the mountains, I would probably be a best-selling author, or at least a little-selling author. So I'm fair-skinned, so the beach sun can be problematic for me. And quite honestly, as a golfer, I'm not a big fan of sand, wherever it is. But, you know, I guess I'll go anywhere that I can find peace and quiet away from the glitz and commercial vacation spots. But tell me, what refreshes and re-energizes you about the beach?
Oh, well, I think just looking out, just the beauty of it, and looking out the expanse of it. Seeing the waves come in and out, this reminds me of just the ebb and flow of life. And sunrises, sunsets, all of that all together, and long, long walks on the beach.
I agree. There's nothing like the sun coming up or going down over the ocean, depending which way, which beach you're at. It's hard to beat. And a beach walk is pretty refreshing and re-energizing. I could see that. I could get behind that.
The sand, not so much. So I'm with you on the sand.
We used to go to a little island when I married into my in-laws, my wife's family. The in-laws would go to this little island in the Redneck Riviera down in the Mobile Bay. And it was just, there was nothing there. And as a 20-something, when we were newlyweds, I was, this is not what I'm looking for. But 30 years later, that's exactly where I want to go if I go to the beach, because there's nothing there. Although now I think there's stuff there because everybody else found it. But it was always a lot of fun. But, you know, Charla, a few episodes back when we were talking with our friend, Pastor Kristen, about her journey embedding a discipleship pathway culture in her church over the past 7 years, she mentioned speaking to spectators in the congregation. We all have different labels for this group, but every preacher out there that's listening to this podcast is picturing people in their congregation right now that are their spectators. And, you know, when pastors and the leadership team seek to implement change, like a new culture of discipleship and disciple making, you know, that's the big question that comes up. Well, what about the spectators? They don't necessarily get out of their seat to work for change or even against it. It's a bit of apathy, maybe. They just kind of sit out there. And the question I'm throwing out to you today is that okay? Should pastors push or pull to get everyone in? So, Charla, in your experience as a pastor, how should we approach these spectators in our congregation?
Mark, I think a good place to turn is to Jesus. And in Luke 18, we have the story of the ruler who came, the rich young man, the ruler who came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to obtain eternal life?" And then Jesus replied to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except the one God." And he said, "You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." And the ruler said, "You know, I've done all these things since I was a boy." And then when Jesus heard this, he said, "There's one more thing. Sell everything you own and distribute the money to the poor. then you will have treasure in heaven and come follow me. And then scripture says, when he heard these words, the man became sad because he was extremely rich. But I've always found it interesting that Jesus, he let this, or he allowed, let this man just walk away. You know, the man was sad, but don't you guess Jesus was sad too. And not only was Jesus sad, but he was patient. He didn't chase after the guy or browbeat the guy. And then I think, you know, what about Judas? Jesus washed the guy's feet. And then Nicodemus is another guy who was full of questions before he chose to follow Jesus. And the last we heard of Nicodemus, he went with another disciple to ask for Jesus' crucified body. And the Nicodemus helped prepare Jesus' body for burial. You know, he came to Jesus in the middle of the night, and then towards the end of the gospel, he's preparing Jesus' body for burial. But what a beautiful story of discipleship. He just kept moving a little closer to Jesus.
Yeah, I love that, those examples from Jesus, because you're exactly right. Jesus modeled for us, you know, how we disciple, how we approach people on their discipleship journey, wherever they are. And, you know, like you said, he didn't chase after them. He didn't browbeat them, you know, and I'm quite confident, you know, he didn't talk about the person with the other, with his disciples, you know, as they were walking down the road. Well, you know, did you, you know, gave Mark the opportunity and, you know, he just walked off because he couldn't stand the heat in the kitchen. You know, Jesus didn't do that.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, and I'm not saying that we as church leaders do it too, but, you know, every now and then a little humor comes in at somebody else's expense and they don't know about it. And that's not right either. So what you're saying is our role is to keep making the offer to take discipleship seriously to our people that are spectators and then let them find their way to Jesus.
Well, I think we realize that not everyone will be on board, and that's okay. I mean, it's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to be sad. But we choose to follow Jesus in loving people. And so we choose patience over pressure, pounding, or manipulation.
Yeah.
Because Jesus didn't do any of those things.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, it's all about loving people.
Yeah.
And because Jesus in the Great Commission didn't say, hey, and I need for you guys to have a 98% conversion rate. Or I need you guys to hit these quarterly numbers.
Yeah, good point. No, he did not, did he?
So, you know, and that just reminds me in marketing and sales parlance from, you know, years gone by from my prior life, you know, we talked about push and pull strategies to sell products. Most of these strategies were and still are very manipulative, and usually they end up being unfulfilling for consumers. You know, I've subscribed for the past few years now to the story brand approach, which is to invest in understanding the problems your audience faces and then create a clear message to those people how you can help them solve a particular problem or issue. I've always felt that this approach particularly suits the church and how we should connect and engage with people, whether they are new or have been spectators for years. You know, and I don't want to say most pastors, many pastors, some pastors feel that they're accomplishing this in their sermons. And I would say some do a great job connecting their message to their people, to their issues. But even then, like we've talked about here, Charla, several times, is we have to offer different messages on different platforms in different ways to connect with people that are so distracted in their lives. You know, we talked with Kristen about making their discipleship pathway a part of the conversation in their church. And in a future episode, I hope we get an opportunity to talk to another friend and colleague about how they successfully embedded this conversation into their church's culture. You know, and I think there are three reasons that most churches don't see a marked increase in discipleship involvement in their church. First is because they don't continually offer multiple connection points for people to plug into the Jesus solution to address their own issues. You know, we've talked about connecting points on here quite a bit. It's places where people can opt in to a next step opportunity for their life. Second is these churches don't find different ways to make discipleship a part of their regular church conversation. You know, like we just talked about, it can't just be in the sermon. It's got to be a part of all the conversation on all the media. And third, churches give up on these approaches before it has had time to become a part of the culture and conversation, unfortunately. Charla, do you agree with these three reasons? Am I making sense?
Yeah, you are. I think you're spot on, because perhaps, Mark, we give up on people. And instead of giving up, we need to keep at it by offering the connector points, or, you know, offering the connection points, keep the discipleship conversation going, and do the slow work of keeping at it. Remember that, and then we remember that we are not the only ones keeping at it. The Holy Spirit is at work to move and to nudge people. I mean, we are in the Easter season as we're doing this podcast. We're in the Easter season when we celebrate that God raised Jesus from the dead. Of course, we celebrate that every Sunday, don't we? And really 7 days a week. But God has the power to raise the dead and to transform lives. And that includes moving people to take the next step in discipleship. And so we don't count anyone out.
Yeah, I like that. So our job is not the heavy lifting. That's Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They're doing all the heavy lifting, the transformation of lives. We just have to keep bringing that message to the forefront for people.
Yeah, we're not salespeople.
Correct.
Like, we're not sell. We don't have to. Jesus doesn't need us to sell him. Jesus is enough.
I like that. I'm flashing back on, I'm sure there was a book written in the 70s or 80s that was a follow-up to Jesus is the CEO to probably Jesus is, you know, the sales manager or something. You know, I'm quite confident there was. So taking that all that into consideration, Charla, what advice would you give pastors and church leaders who are frustrated that the needle is not yet moving with the spectators in their church?
You know, going back to we talked about refreshing and being renewed. I think Jesus's favorite place to refresh and renew was a deserted place where he could pray. So perhaps it's through prayer that he was given the strength to love people over pushing, manipulating, coercing, and just giving up on people. I mean, Jesus didn't give up on anyone. He went to the cross for everyone, right? And it was from that love. So I think the advice is continue to be refreshed. Take time to be refreshed, renewed through prayer to have the strength to love people.
Yeah, that's wise advice and wise words, you know, because you can have a situation that came up that I was a part of a few years ago at the church, at my home church and a church where I worked for a few years. We were having a baptism Sunday, not only to remember your baptism, but actually kind of an open call to baptism. And this woman that I'd known for 20 years, we'd raised our kids together. Our children had grown up together. You know, I thought I knew this woman very well because we'd served in ministries together over the years, Bible studies, what have you. And she got in line, and I was just awestruck. She goes, Mark, I just have never been baptized. I've just never gotten around to it. And I don't even know if the pastor knew that at the time. But you know, it was just kind of one of that story has stuck with me now for several years, because Jesus's timetable is so infinitely more patient than ours.
Yeah, right.
That if I had known that this was a person that I'd known for so long that was not baptized, I would have hounded her to death, probably. And she would have never gotten baptized. So, you know, so I think what you offered is great biblical advice for all of us. Is you know, our job's to love people through their journey. Anything else you'd like to add, as we talk about these spectators? Because I think this is an important conversation.
Yeah, I think we just keep inviting, you know, in a loving, gracious, kind way. We keep inviting. Keep inviting to take the next step and looking for those connection points, like we said, and stay in the conversation. But we just continue, above all, to love. And I believe that's, and like you said, we just, God is the mover. Even though we're not passive in the whole process, but we have our role, but God is the mover of people's hearts, not us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I would add to that, keep making the invitation, keep making a relevant invitation that's pertinent to that person, and make a personal invitation to people. Not hounding like I would.
And which is pertinent to that person. And I think that is really key, because everyone's got something else particular to their family, to their life, and where they are. And so it's got to be pertinent to their, it doesn't, discipleship doesn't all look the same for everybody.
Yeah, Charlie, that's a great place to end this part of that conversation today. And I want to thank you for the conversation today. I'm excited that hopefully in future episodes, we'll talk with more pastors and leaders that are connecting and engaging with disciples in their church, and see how they're doing it and how they're leaning into the movement of the Spirit in their congregations.
Yeah, I'm excited too. And one more thing, that if you are new to the show or you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast and you will be automatically updated when new episodes come out. And if you liked what you hear, give us a nice review so more people can find us and the help they need. And then please make sure to share the podcast with your friends.
Thanks for investing a few minutes with us on the podcast today. We hope Breaking Through the Noise will be your go-to resource for making more disciples in your church. Let's get connected. Hit us up on social media. Our contact information and links are in the show notes. Our theme music is from The Young Fables. Check out their latest album on Spotify or wherever you listen to music. Have a great week, and we can't wait to talk to you again next time on Breaking Through the Noise.